Hi there again. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We've been reading through the Bible for weeks, and we just have the conclusion of the Roman government agents in our country that are Roman Catholic agents in our country that are posing as U.S. agents. Not only are the people in the United States getting angry about that, but the entire world is, because Rome wants to rule the entire world, and they're using the United States government, Army, Navy, and Marines to do it, so that we'll get the blame for it, so that people can justify eventually murdering, killing, bombing the people here in the United States. And it really isn't the people, the people in the United States that are doing these things. It's Roman agents and Roman government people that are posing as U.S. government, the heads of U.S. government, the head of U.S. FBI, IRS, Department of Labor, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and also DEA, Drug Enforcement Agency. And most people have seen the expose from many sources of how that it was the United States government agencies that are bringing the drugs into the country. And then they're throwing people in prison, manpower into prison, one right after the other, hundreds and even thousands of people into prison, because they're distributing it, the very drugs that the people, the heads of government, have brought into this country. And it's a well-known thing now, and it's just amazing that the people of the United States want to believe that it's just the United States that are inspiring these things. This is inspiration from Rome. People in government know that they're being told what to do by Rome. The elder President Bush and Clinton, and also the new President Bush, are the most Catholic presidents that have ever been, ranging from FDR, he was one as well. They've all said that they'll do everything that the popes tell them to do. And that's what they're doing. So we, the people of the United States, who believe in the U.S. Constitution, and we who are Christians, don't believe in bombing other countries to gain their oil or to make fake atrocities and bring false accusations against the people of other countries so that we can steal their oil. False accusation being that there's weapons of mass destruction in there. There are a lot of tapes on this that people have done, but they don't point out that it's the Vatican that is leading the Bushes and the Clintons. That it's the Vatican that's been bringing drugs into the country to get everybody so drugged up that they can't think when they can't put it together that who it is that's doing these things. And now the USA is being blamed for the atrocity of the World Trade Center, and also we're being blamed for bombing all the other countries that we've been bombing. And it's just the insatiable desire of the Vatican to do these things. And I've met many government agents that have gotten away from the government. They said they're worse than the mafia. And I've always said that those people should be placed in prison. And a lot of people that are in prison, that are held as political prisoners, should be released. And there's many people that have killed people in this country to hide the fact that it's the Vatican that they're working for, and that they're the ones that have been bringing drugs into the country and transporting weapons in and out of the country. It's one of the most, I wouldn't want to say it's the most clever promotion that's ever been done. That's what I did for a living before I was saved, is promotion. And I was the best, and I'm really able to recognize a mass promotion like they're doing, masking it as they do. They know that the entire country would, how else can they rally armies to go after innocent countries, but to bomb the World Trade Center, the Federal Building, and blame it on Osama bin Laden, who died several years ago, according to reliable sources. And, you know, people say, well, I thought you were a gospel preacher. Yes, I am. And the Lord tells us to resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. And how can you resist Satan if you just keep believing the things that you do, and if you just want to remain ignorant? Now, one of the former federal agents just told me this evening that he used to be a bodyguard for the Elder Bush, for Clinton, and for the new Bush. And he wanted to get out of there because he said, I never saw such corruption in my life, and those people just feel that they're totally immune from being prosecuted. They prosecute people that are innocent and are doing so much less than what they do, and they're absolutely immune. You can see a little ruffle here and there, but that's it. They don't, they never get prosecuted. Did you ever notice that, these high officials in the government? And they're still sporting themselves in front of the American public, and people just say, oh, well. But, you know, so it's no longer we the people, and that the law pertains to everybody, and no one is immune from the law. These people have done such evil, bringing narcotics and drugs into the country and starting fake wars. And they, I believe God's going to get them. Now, I'm not trying to raise up anybody against them because, you know, we're not supposed to murder. We're not to plan murder. But we need to pray that God will either save their souls or that he'll do something about them. I noticed that President Clinton had to have a bypass. What was it? Maybe 2, 3, 4 bypasses. And the same thing is going to happen to a lot of these other people that are responsible for the deaths of all those people at Waco and their participation in the bombing of the Federal Building and the World Trade Center. And it's just such an obvious setup. The Bible says for us not to kill, murder. And here they are literally planning to murder millions of people, and that they're not to covet other people's oil, amen? And to bring false accusation against those that have the oil by saying that they have weapons of mass destruction, which has already been proven to be a lie, yet we stay over there getting our own people killed and killing them. And, you know, what do you expect these people to do? They know that they've been falsely accused, and yet we're in there trying to bring, quote, democracy. In other words, unquote, to take the Bible out of their life. Of course, they're Muslims, and there's no way that they're going to believe us if these people in high office say they're Christians. How will such evil people like that convert anybody to Christianity, the Muslims? Now, with the truth, people are converted to Christianity. But with the false things that they're teaching people over the news media and the one world cult from Rome, where the Bible says that the devil sits right there in Rome incarnate in a human body and in the bodies of many others. And the body of Satan is a corporate body. There are millions of people in that body, and they've actually got people attacking Christians and actually paying money to support them while they attack Christians and bring all kinds of false accusations against them. Well, but so much for that at the moment, anyway. So we're going to be doing the final, the conclusion of Part 8, which is the Antichrist government in the United States, posing as, actually they're Roman Catholic government agents in this country, of puppets of the Pope that are causing everybody in the world to believe that we, the United States, are looking for world dominion. It isn't us. It's the Pope, the Roman Catholic, but it's not even the, it's the devil, Satan, that's embodied in the Pope and the cardinals and all these reprobates in Rome, and of course all over the world, that have joined them in their quest to take power and dominion of the entire earth. And this is going to be a short-lived thing. It's obvious that they've pretty much, they've done it. They've done it already, and that shows that it's just time for the Lord to come back. Now they're using treachery with this germ in chemical warfare, and the Lord said he's going to shorten the time because no flesh would be able to endure the things that are happening on earth now. So he's coming back very soon. And you see, there's a great falling away. And the Apostle Paul said, don't think that Christ is coming back until you see the great, this big falling away from the church. And Satan enters into the temple of God to say that he is God. Well, the temple of God is we who are the Christians. There are many of them that have fallen away because they've allowed Satan to enter into them, just as he did Judas Iscariot. And it's now they have betrayed the Lord. They've actually taken the mark of the beast in their heart and in their minds. And they're condemned. They're doomed. And there's no possible way for them to repent. Because these false preachers are part of the whole regime. They're saying that they're Protestants. The majority of these preachers on television and on radio are actually Roman Catholics. And they're pretending to be Protestants. Now, if they were so proud of their religion, why do they hide under the guise of Protestant or born-again Christians? They're no more born again than the devil is himself. And they're saying that Bush is the Messiah, and ooh, that stuff that just turns my stomach. So let's all get together and pray that God will make a move before... and that stick with the gospel and don't believe these people in secular government or these false prophets on television. The Bible calls them wolves in sheep's clothing, and that's what they are. They're the devil pretending to be angels of light in the pulpit, as Satan himself posed as an angel of light and deceived Eve. And then Eve became his first disciple, Satan's first disciple, and threw her own husband's soul. So don't be led by women. Don't be led by Satan's Antichrist Roman Catholic cult, government, or media. But read the Bible and listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe what he says and nothing else, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we ask that you bless, anoint this service with your outward anointing. Open up the spiritual eyes and ears of the saved and the unsaved. Let the saved be saved, more securely. And let the unsaved be saved once and for all, that they may become Christian soldiers, wielding not carnal weapons, but because we don't use carnal weapons, our weapons of warfare is the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the most powerful weapon. And the reason I expose Satan is because the Spirit of the Lord has told me to do that. Nobody knows where the devil is coming from. It pleases President Bush for you to believe that it's him doing it, because he is taking the heat off of his God, the Pope. And the Pope, the Rome has accused Russia, communism, the Jews, China. Everybody's the devil. Now it's anybody. Now it's the Arabs, the people from Iraq, Iran. Anybody that is not Catholic. And what a list they have of what they call cults. Anyone that is not a Catholic or united with the Vatican, the Roman Catholic cult. But Father, we ask that you expose these things. Let everything that I say be directed from your throne, from your mouth, through mine, into the hearts and souls of everyone out there in Radio Land. Strengthen the church and save the millions, yea, billions of souls. In Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
From Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
Dear Pastor, the literature that the Lord has given you contains motivational strength realized.
Is this somebody from our church that
yes.
lives at our church?
Yes.
Who is it?
Lou Solari.
Lou Solari. He's been in the church for, about a year or less? I don't really know how long. But he's one of the school teachers, and I haven't met him but two or three times. But I've been in services where he has been. But read that again.
Dear Pastor, the literature that the Lord has given you contains motivational strength realized. They motivate me to look deeper into the scriptures as referenced in the literature for a more comprehensive meaning of the very words that Jesus spoke. This more complete understanding allows me to line my life as dictated by Jesus' words and also his many compassionate, selfless acts of mercy upon the souls of men. I thank God that I have a pastor who cares enough about the souls of men, diligent to the word of our Lord, to tell the complete truth. You are able to stand against severe persecution. The scriptures which you break down, both on tape and in the literature, are a spiritual treasure. The more you dig into them, the greater your reward. Praise the Lord, Lou Solari.
Well, praise the Lord. That's a nice letter from a member of our church. And then where's the next letter from?
From Jesse James Stevens in Los Angeles, California.
Another member of our church?
Yes.
And he hasn't been saved long. He's only been back to our church for a few weeks now. Okay, go ahead.
Dear Pastor Tony, victory is mine, exclamation point, because of the blood of our Lord Jesus. After you prayed for me last Sunday, my head stopped hurting and has not come back, exclamation point. Again, I say victory, exclamation point. This problem has been a part of my life since 1983 because of a fight I was in. I will not glorify the thief by going into that. All the glory I give to our Lord Jesus, exclamation point. Pastor, my tears of pain turned to tears of joy over the phone. I know Jesus healed me. I also see better out of my bad eye. Sir, Jesus and you and I gave the devil a black eye, and my faith is magnified, exclamation point. You will hear more from me, Jesse James Stevens.
Right, if you really believe in the Lord and you really want to be healed, all you have to do is contact me and I'll pray for you. People are healed from every different kind of disease, and for sure pain goes away immediately. I was in prison for the gospel's sake on an IRS false charge because I wrote a piece of literature naming six different Nazi war criminals that were the advisors of President Bush Sr. And immediately they raided all of our properties. I guess he just picked up the phone and I had to go before a judge that was appointed by him. I could just hear him, you know, picking up the phone and say, "Get him." And because the Pope, John Paul II, said that I was the greatest enemy of the Vatican. Well, somebody's got to be our enemy, because it's for sure they're our enemy. They've murdered millions of Christians, and they're the enemy of God. Who do you think is taking all these Bibles out of the school? Do you think it's Osama bin Laden?
No.
From a cave, he's saying, take all the Bibles out of the schools in America, and take all of the, make sure that all the judges cause people to be in contempt of court if they mention the name of God. And it's when he's been dead now for years. He died of bad kidneys. He was on dialysis machines, according to experts, people that are in the know. And to Bush, he was hiding in a cave someplace, and he's dictating world policy from that cave. But we don't see him, amen?
Amen.
Because the people in the administration stated that they buried him, amen?
Amen.
So, but at any rate, I was praying for this man in prison. He's a young man, a black man, about 21 years old. And I was in the same cell with him, and he was moaning and groaning half the night, and I couldn't go to sleep. And I said, "What in the world's the matter with you? What's wrong with you?" He said, "The police shot my shoulder off, my deltoid, with a shotgun." And I says, "Are you kidding?" He said, "No." I said, "Let me see." So he showed me, and it was a grotesque scar there, and there was no deltoid on his shoulder. And I said, "Well, you know, the Lord told me a long time ago, when I had a headache and I was going to the store, I got the keys to the car and I was going to go to the store, that's when I could see real good, pretty good, enough to drive anyway." Yeah, this was in California at Zuma Beach, where Sue and I lived. And while I was walking out the door, I was headed for the door, the Lord told me, "If the aspirin company is more powerful than me, then you go to work for the aspirin company. And quit saying that, you're working for me." And I started laughing. And I knew right then that he was going to take the headache away. And I said, "Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, heal my headache. Take it away." And it was gone instantly. And ever since then, everybody I ever prayed for, their headache is gone. Immediately, their backache, their leg ache, their shoulder. So I said, "Do you want me to pray for you?" And he said, "Yes." So I prayed for him, and he said, "How'd you do that?" I said, "I didn't do anything. That was the Lord." And he wasn't even saved. So if any of you people out there need healing, you've got pain in your body, don't be like the people that murdered Terry Schiavo just because you're in pain. Call me up, contact me, and I'll pray with you. And if you agree that the Lord is the truth, he said, "By my stripes you were healed." As a matter of fact, right now you could be healed by just receiving what the Lord said. He said 2,000 years ago, "By my stripes." He said this even earlier than that. He said, "By my stripes," he said it in the Old Testament, "you were healed." Healed. It's something that happened already, and the Lord has provided salvation for us and healing for us and everything for us. All you have to do is receive it by faith and be healed now, and just thank and praise the Lord that he provided healing for you. You can just be healed right now, all right? You just receive it as you've already been healed according to the Lord. And if you say, "Well, that he's not the truth," well, then of course you can't be healed. He's the only truth in the universe. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. If you don't even believe that he's the truth, you can't come to the Father. He says, no man comes unto the Father but by me, the way, the truth, and the life. So just believe that and receive your healing that he's provided for you now, in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord, and just thank and praise the Lord. Be thankful that he did that for you. Hallelujah. All right, then what?
Next letter's from Zambia, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Alamo, we are very much glad to write this letter to you through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior. We are very happy to receive the things you sent us entitled Mass Suicide and Earthquake, and we thank God for your help. Our Pastor Alamo, we thank God for your message because many people have interest in it, and it has reached many people's hearts. Through that book, The Messiah, many people have believed that salvation is in Jesus Christ, so people here have changed their lives, which forces us to form a church here in Zambia. Our Pastor Alamo, we need more help from you, such as English and French Bibles, literature, and the Messiah books. We greet you all in the name of our Lord God and Jesus Christ. Yours, Edward, from Luapula Province, Zambia, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Do you have another letter?
Yes.
Where's this one from?
Decatur, Georgia.
Okay.
Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, I recently found your literature entitled Mass Suicide in a Mall in Atlanta, and I am fascinated by its message, being in total agreement. Wake up, world! Exclamation point. I would be most grateful if you could send me several copies of this piece of literature and any others you might be able to send me as soon as possible, about 10 copies each to start. I am presently unemployed, but expect to be in a position soon to be able to send you a generous contribution. I am very interested in your ministry and would be most grateful for any materials you can send me. Thank you, Mary, from Decatur, Georgia.
Praise the Lord. Well, is not necessary because we really rarely ever ask for money. We just say if you send finances to us, we'll be able to get more of these messages out throughout the world and more people will be saved and you'll be partaking in all the blessings that we partake in. And the Lord will love you and not hate you. All right, and then do you have anything else?
Yes, another one from Africa, Kumasi, Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, I am with much pleasure to write you this letter. How are you? I hope by the grace of our Almighty God you are fine. The reason why I am writing this letter to you is that I read your newsletter. God allowed me to come across it miraculously. After reading it, I was very much blessed and desired to write you. I thank you for the wonderful messages reaching out to the lost and saved ones so that Christ might be formed in their lives. Through your literature, many people have been delivered from the devil. May God bless you economically, physically, and spiritually. Pastor, I am requesting for Bibles, books, magazines, messages on tapes, and more literature to help me go in the fields and witness to the lost souls. Lastly, I would like to request materials for Bible study and songs on tape. Thank you, yours faithfully, Emmanuel, from Kumasi, Ghana, Africa.
Well, we just so happened to have CDs on tape. These were albums that I recorded a long time ago. And we're going on television on about 3 networks all over the world and all over Europe, all over the Middle East, and, of course, 2 networks here in the United States, the Word Channel and the Church Channel that we know of right now. They are asking me to be on there. I never wanted to be on television. We were on 10 years, but I made Susie do all the preaching, and I just sang a couple of gospel songs now and then. And I believe the Lord is opening up the door for me to be on TV with this message and some of the different testimonials that we have in our church and some of the singing that we have. And I think, I'm sure that you're going to enjoy watching us all over the world. We're going to be in Turkey and all the Middle Eastern places, Greece. I just got that information today. Well, here's a letter here from a young man in the church that I had to take out of the church because he was treating young Christians really bad. So I told him, look, you cannot go to church services. I don't want you to be around young Christians because you're throwing their soul. And so until you learn your lesson. So here's a letter from him. Is that from Trevor?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and read it.
Sir, for 7 or 8 months, I have felt like I was spiritually stuck in neutral. I just worked and worked. I wasn't taking a prayer hour. I was only reading a tiny bit a day. I just kept feeling more and more overwhelmed. I felt like I was spiritually drowning. I then started to do things I should not do. I know this is stating the obvious, but I just kept running my mouth instead of letting the Lord speak through me. I did not understand all the things I was being rebuked for, just some. You saw and the Lord showed you things in me I had no idea were there. I did not see that I was getting puffed up. I could not keep my mouth shut. I just kept getting in the way, instead of being dead. When you told me to read chapter 2 of Ephesians, all of a sudden it kick-started everything for me. The only way I can explain it is, it was like the first domino just flipped over and the rest started falling in line. That chapter reopened the Bible to me. I feel alive again. Then finally I could feel the message tapes lifting me up. Just up and up and up. This has continued now every day. I feel life going into me when I hear the tapes. It is like you are looking inside my brain and answering all of my questions. I know the tapes are helping people all over the world, but at the same time I feel like they are personally for me. Then I was driving down the road and I was praising the Lord, and then for the first time in months the Lord poured his Spirit down upon me, and now it is like before I was cut off. That was the most terrible feeling to have the Lord so angry at me, and I am not going to let that happen again. I just imagine a dead person. You can light him on fire, or run a chainsaw through him, or pour acid on him, and he won't move one inch. I know that is how I have to be, so the Lord can work through me. Thank you so much. I cannot ever imagine not praying or reading now to stay alive. What also scares me is to know that it can happen, but I am thankful I am being taught the real truth. Words cannot express my gratitude for your consecration, because I am still alive because of it. You have been more of a dad to me than my dad ever was, and I am going to show my thankfulness to the Lord and you by doing everything I am commanded. Praise the Lord, Trevor.
Well, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us to die physically. We're to die to all the elements of the things of the world that we used to follow. We're to die out to the things we used to love. But I guarantee you, even if you die out to the things that you used to love, if you die out to sin, Satan, the world, and your flesh, you're still going to feel a chainsaw if it starts cutting you in two, and you still are going to feel if somebody throws acid on you. So don't do that to Trevor or anyone else out there, all right? Because you're going to suffer a lot. That isn't what the Lord means. It's a symbolic meaning of dying out to self so that you can let the Lord Jesus Christ live in you and through you and work in you and work through you. That's what that means. So that you, the old you is dead because there isn't anything in us that's of any value at all before the Spirit of God enters us. And we, by reading the Bible and praying, communicating with the Lord and doing what he says, we grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. And of course, the fullness of the stature of Christ is the eventuation of our being a member of the church, the body of Christ, because none of us can survive Christianity. No one of us can ever be the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ outside the body, because it takes the entire body to be the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The body of Christ is a corporate body of people, millions of people. The corporate body of Satan is millions and millions of people, and it's we who must realize that we're sheep among wolves, and we must stay together in a body. United we stand, divided we fall. A house divided cannot stand. So you must, no person can serve the Lord really outside of the body of Christ. No one can be part of the fullness of the body of Christ by yourself. There are no lone wolves. The entire corporate body of the children of Israel had to stay together for the 40 years. And the young ones, when they came to the River Jordan, they didn't cross, just a few one day and a few the next, and a few a week after, or a month or two after that. All of them had to cross at the same time. And that's what we're all going to have to do. We're all going to enter the kingdom of heaven the same time. And if you think that you can be a maverick, or that you're going to be an Elijah outside the body, that isn't the way it is in the New Testament. The way that the New Testament explains that we must be all part of the church, all part of one body. There's one body, one God, one Christ, one Spirit, and that's it. Amen?
Amen.
One faith, one word of God, that's it. So you must be in the body. My arm cannot survive away from, if it's severed from the body, it'll shrivel up and die. My toes, one toe away from the body, will wither and die. And it cripples the body. And so we need to stick together as a body. Blind people must have the aid of all the others in the church in order to survive. We need one another. That's just a known fact. We're the minority in this world. And so stay in the body and live. All right? Mm-hmm. Now, we're at part 8. Of the Antichrist cult, government and media, posing as godly U.S. citizens. Okay, go ahead. This is the conclusion of part of this piece of literature. Go ahead.
God hates your carnal weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, he's talking to the people in the Rome, the devil, and people that follow Rome. The great falling away are a bunch of former Christians that fell away from the Lord, and now Satan has entered them. And because they have taken on the false doctrine, they're saying that Satan is God. Now, a lot of people I hear on the TV now and then saying that there's going to be a temple of God built in Israel, and the devil himself is going to enter there. That isn't what that means at all. You have to be deep in the spirit to understand what that means. Know you not that you're the temple of God? Okay? The Bible says that over and over again. And know you not that, you know, the Lord will not always strive with you. And it talks about in the first chapter of Romans that if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and taste the Spirit and taste the good things of the Lord, and you fall away, he sends you, turns you over to a reprobate mind, a reject of the Lord. Same thing in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because you had not the love of the Word of God, you did not retain it, he says that he will send you strong delusion. In the book of Revelation, he says, if you don't continue being zealous, he'll spit you out of his body, and you will not, you'll be out cold. You'll be the same as a person that is blasphemed the Holy Spirit. So don't tell me your false doctrine of once saved, always saved, that you're the righteousness of God when you're out there sinning. And when you've fallen away and let Satan move into you and say that you're God and sit in these congregations that are spewing out this false doctrine and you're receiving it, you're the same as saying that Satan is God. And you're the fulfillment of the very last scripture that the Apostle Paul said that would identify the nearness of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's standing at the door right now. this government is so corrupt, and the world government is so corrupt that it has weapons of destruction that can actually annihilate you, to cause you to stop breathing, whole cities, whole towns. Get right with the Lord. Believe the Bible. We're right there at the mark of the beast, and many of you have taken the mark of the beast already. And you're angry at me and bringing false accusations against me because I'm telling you how the Word condemns you. Unless you repent. Now, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you might as well just back off, because you can go to lower parts of hell and the lake of fire. Okay, God is not a kidder. When He tells you that He's strict, He's severe, He is a God of love if you keep His commandments. He said, you're my friend if you do everything I say. Amen?
Amen.
But if you're not doing anything that He commands you to do, you're no friend of His. Okay, so God is not Alfred E. Newman, okay? He's not somebody that you can toy with. All right, continue. What else does God hate?
And He hates your carnal, pre-planned, satanic wars. He hates your schemes, your desires to rule the world and mankind. He hates your Antichrist and the way you follow Him. He hates your, quote, love of money, which
Well, you're part of the Antichrist. If you're believing Him, if you've let Satan enter into your body, you're part of the Antichrist. He hates your entire Antichrist facade, your whole Antichrist person, the whole body of Antichrist. Okay, then what?
He hates your, quote, love of money, which is the root of all evil, unquote.
And your love for oil. All right, then what else?
That was 1 Timothy chapter.
And your love for lying and stealing and false accusations against people that are good. And He hates your hatred of God, of Christ, of Christians, the Word of God. Okay, go ahead.
That was 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. He hates the spirit of Satan dwelling in those of you who are butchers of humans. He hates the seducing spirits
that have seduced you and have caused you to fall away from the Lord. Then what?
He hates the satanic spirits dwelling in those of you who are being used to wear out the saints. He hates the satanic demons in the false prophets who are leading millions of souls into hell, then into the lake of fire with them. There are so many of them, I can't list them all. He hates their satanic bargaining tables. God hates your hatred towards the Jews, His chosen people, and towards spiritual Israel, which is His body, His church, His bride, the New Jerusalem.
Christians, in other words, true Christians. Catholics are not Christians. It's a big political, satanic, antichrist organization. The head of the world cult, government, and media. All right, then what?
Quote, the kingdom of heaven, which is at hand, unquote, the true Christians.
Okay, now the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now the kingdom means that the law of God does not change. Democracy, the laws keep changing. There's, I guess, hundreds, maybe thousands of new laws every year. But the kingdom law has been settled in heaven. And it doesn't make any difference how many times the people of this world or the secular government change the law. It's still the same. And you're going to be judged by God's law. You are going to be judged by God's law. And he's very patient about it, because you can see people around you dying like flies. And you're going to die. And you're going to stand before God whether you want to or not. And then you're going to start, I'm guaranteeing you, I thought I was a pretty mean person before, very cold. But when the Lord came down upon me, I thought I was a tough guy too. I thought I was very evil, because I had enough money to do whatever I wanted. If somebody would come against me to try to hurt me, I had enough money to send somebody over to hurt them. This is the way I used to operate before I was saved. But And I realize you people out there have enough money to hire someone to do hurt. You sent me to prison on false charges because you hate the gospel that I preach. But it's I'm preaching the truth, and woe unto you. But the thing is that you're going to stand before God whether you like it or whether you don't like it, and you're going to be judged for all the changes that you thought you were going to make. The Word of God says they'll think in the last days to change laws, my law, and times and seasons. It won't do you any good. Everything, the Word of God is settled in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
It's settled. And God never changes. The same Bible that you read here, that's the same Bible that He's going to judge you with when you stand before Him. And some of you people haven't got a leg to stand on. And you'll want to sit down, like in a wheelchair or something, when you're before Him. And you're going to pray for the rocks and mountains to fall on you when He comes back. Everybody's going to be raised from the dead. And they're going to face Him. And everyone's going to face the King of Terrors. All you unsaved people. But when a Christian, a true Christian, dies, the Lord, just the angels of the Lord and the Lord Himself comes down and takes you up peacefully into heaven. But not you wicked, not the wicked out there. I would suggest for you, if you believe my message, which is strictly from the Bible, if I were you, I'd get down on your hands and knees and start praising and thanking the Lord. Because as tough as I thought I was, when the Lord came down upon me, I was screaming like a baby. And I guarantee you, no matter how tough you are out there, how tough you think you are, you're going to do the same thing. Because I wasn't afraid of man or beast, and I cried like a baby when He appeared. His word came down, He started pulling the breath in and out of me and showed me hell and heaven. And I was crying, "Don't send me to hell, please." And you, I think you're a tough monkey. You'll see. I guarantee you're going to be screaming your head off, screaming your lungs out. You'll be horrified when you stand before Him, when you say, "Oh my God, He really does exist. I was so glad that He was merciful unto me and let me be saved, because I did not believe in Him, probably any more than you do. But He made a believer out of me 41 years ago, and at the risk of my life, I'm telling you these things. Because I understand how you don't believe, because I didn't either. But you're going to fear Him, I guarantee you. You'll say, "Well, I thought that God was a God of love." He is a God of love to those that love Him and keep His commandments. But He's a terrorist to those, and He laughs and mocks at you as you go out into hell because you ignore His word and ignore His very being and ignore His Son who died on the cross for you. Now ask Him into your heart before it's too late, okay? All right? Ask God if what I'm saying is the truth. Especially you Jews out there. He'll tell you. He'll tell a Jew. And if you want to be a Jew, you know, you want to be a, you have to become a spiritual Jew in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. You can't be a Gentile. Gentile means unbeliever. Jew means a believer. Okay, now let's continue on here. The other things that God hates.
That last scripture was Matthew chapter 10, verse 7.
What was that last scripture? Refresh their memory.
The kingdom of heaven, which is at hand. The true Christians. That was Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. He hates the demonic spirit of pride in you, which chooses the way of Satan rather than the way of God. The psalmist David stated, quote, "I hate them with perfect hatred," unquote. Psalms chapter 139, verse 22. Jesus said, quote, "Thou, his authorities, hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate," unquote. Revelation chapter 2, verse 6. God doesn't hate the Nicolaitans. He hates their deeds. God doesn't hate you, but he hates your deeds. Repent of your evil deeds or burn in hell in the lake of fire forever. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41.
That sounds pretty crude, but that's the way it really is. I like to bottom line everything because I can't afford to be spend too much time being nice. All those other all the false prophets are the ones that do that. So there's a need for someone like me.
Amen.
You know, somebody that just tells it like it is. Amen?
Amen.
Haven't got time to just say, oh, now you guys out there, you know you're wrong, and you know God loves you and all. No, he doesn't. He loves you if you love him and keep his commandments. Okay, then what?
Repent of your evil deeds or burn in hell in the lake of fire forever. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, and chapter 21, verse 8. Any servant of God hates your deeds as well, but doesn't hate you. We hate the devil that possesses you. God wants to possess you. He died for you. He paid for you with his life and his blood on the cross at Calvary. Give up the crumbs of this world and receive immortality in heaven forever. Only the dogs eat the crumbs off of the Lord's table. We mere humans have only one choice. We can either repent of our sins and follow Christ, or not repent and spend eternity in the lake of fire. Spending eternity in the lake of fire is not a choice. Therefore, if you have a brain, God is making you an offer that you can't refuse.
Yeah, it is in a sense a choice. You either choose to go to heaven or hell. But I don't call that a wise choice, all right? Then what?
If you have a brain, God is making you an offer that you can't refuse unless you are the ultimate masochist or a vegetable, which means you are insane. You will not think this way when you are in the lake of fire, gnashing your teeth and chewing your tongue for pain throughout eternity. It is the wonderful goodness of God towards all humanity that makes this clear and merciful offer through his word, the Bible. It is your blueprint to heaven. Jesus our Lord tells us to, quote, repent and believe the gospel, unquote. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Quote, or else he will come unto us quickly, unquote. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. He warns everyone, quote, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee, unquote. Revelation chapter 3, verse 3. If you don't repent, you will soon be standing before the great white throne of God. There you will not have your way. God never changes his word or judgments. You will be paralyzed with horror. You will be terrified beyond your imagination because the bleak, naked truth or ultimate reality will have you firmly in its grip while you are being cast into the eternal flame which cannot be quenched. Then, quote, the smoke of your torment ascendeth up forever and ever, unquote. Revelation chapter 14, verse 11. Those who fear Satan rather than God, those who disbelieve God, quote, and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, unquote. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. To receive mercy for your condemned soul, cry out to God in this prayer.
Okay, now let's say the prayer. My Lord and my God, if you're in a car, automobile, pull it aside here so we can you can get your soul right with God. Now just repeat after me. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Say it. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word is the truth. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know you have answered me, and I know I'm saved because you're the truth. And I thank and praise your holy name, Lord, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. And don't be ashamed of the Lord. If you are, he'll be ashamed of you before his Father and the holy angels. Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. All right, now that you're saved, there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you can get all the instruction you want from my ministry here. I'll be glad to write you if you have questions. I'll answer your questions. And until tomorrow, we're going to begin something. I don't know whatever the Lord will give me tomorrow, God willing. And until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. And here's something that I thought would be very nice for you for the Christmas holidays. It's something that I really admire a lot. And it's actually beautiful. If you'd like to have a brochure on it, I'll see to it that the people that have it will send it to you. Praise the Lord.
The New Jerusalem Cross. All the beautiful things of Christ begin at the cross. We're washed in the blood of Jesus at the cross. At the cross, we're resurrected from our dead life of sin to the life of Christ. The most beautiful and significant Christian jewelry that's ever been created. The New Jerusalem Cross, with the 12 sacred stones mentioned in the 21st chapter of Revelation, created for born of the Spirit Christians to wear. Priced at only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. Call this toll-free number, 888-431-7474, or order from the website, njsacredstones.com. All major credit cards accepted. Only $19.95. The New Jerusalem Cross. Such a beautiful way to give you a door to openly testify for our Lord Jesus Christ and His church.